Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, everybody. I've already been accused of bringing the snow, so. Well, it's a joy to be back at Puzzletown Road Bible Church. It's always been a joy to come and share and fellowship together in ministry, and we're looking forward to sharing these days. I was telling some folks last week where we were. Just before we got to the place, the sign on the side of a building said, "You are at the end of the earth." And we're in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. How many of you have ever been in the upper, they call it the UP out there, okay? It's definitely not the end of the world, but you can see it from there. And matter of fact, 2 weeks ago today, Sunday morning, I preached twice in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And we left after the service about 12:30, just stopped at McDonald's, grabbed something, ate it on the way, drove 8 hours, got to Ann Arbor, Michigan, stayed overnight Sunday night, was on the road again 6:30 the next morning, took us 9 hours from Ann Arbor, Michigan to get there. So I tell folks, if we go again, we'll fly. But there's only one airline goes in there, and they wanted me to buy a share in the airline for the price of my ticket, so that's why I decided to drive. But very interesting. It's called Gitche Gumee Bible Camp. Gitche Gumee's an Indian term, means big water. It's on Lake Superior, so that's about as big a water as you can get. It's a beautiful spot once you get there. But we used to have a family come to our Living Waters camp in Maine for a number of years, musical family, Bob and Patty Fisher and their children. Matter of fact, Bob is now pastoring, would you believe, in Paget, Bermuda. But anyway, they traveled in ministry. They sang a lot for Word of Life years ago, and then Bob was associate pastor in Lakeland, Florida for a number of years. Patty's grandfather founded this camp, Gitche Gumee, 85 years ago. Patty's dad directed it for over 30 years. Then the man that was his associate directed it for 30. And then a year ago this month, Bob and Patty's youngest son, Robbie, became the director. So for 85 years, it's been pretty much in the family. So we had a great time sharing in the Word of God. It's good to be here this morning. I'm going to do something, Lord willing, this week during the revival that may be just a little different. Sometimes I'll take different types of messages and so on. But I'm going to do a series, but it's the type of series that folks who aren't here every night, it's not going to be like a continuing type of thing, so there'll be no problem there. So what I want to do in Sunday school is introduce it. And we're going to be taking a look at the Old Testament tabernacle, okay? You know, it's very interesting that there are two chapters, basically, in the Word of God that describe creation. Basically, two. Others make reference, but two that describe it. There are approximately 50 chapters in the Word of God in describing the tabernacle. So I would say that if God placed it in 50 chapters in the Word of God, it may be somewhat significant, wouldn't you? And I jotted them down. There's 13 in Exodus, 18 in Leviticus, 13 in Numbers, 2 in Deuteronomy, and of course 4 in the book of Hebrews. The tabernacle was the place where God met with man and man met with God. And we usually think of it with relation to the wilderness journey of the nation of Israel from the time they left Egypt until they arrived in the promised land of Canaan. However, the tabernacle was the meeting place where God met with Israel and Israel met with God for between 400 and 500 years. Up until the time of Solomon's temple. And all the tabernacle basically really was a tent. And I'm just giving a little background for the sake of some who may not be familiar. It was basically a tent. And the tent was divided into two rooms. The two rooms were the holy place and then the holiest place or the holy of holies. The tent set on a foundation of solid silver. Matter of fact, the foundation alone weighed approximately 5.5 tons. So silver, I looked it up the other day, and I have so much of it, I want to check the price. But Silver is a little over $14 per ounce. It went up to $15 the week before. But let's just figure it at $14 an ounce, and you got 5.5 ton of silver. So that'll give you a little bit of an idea of the financial value of just the foundation. But also, most people don't stop to think of what was involved in all of the logistics in the moving of the tabernacle. Because it didn't stay in one place. You see, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night stood over the Holy of Holies, over the blood-sprinkled mercy seat in the Ark of the Covenant. And when the pillar of cloud and fire stopped, Israel stopped. Didn't matter if it was for a day, a week, a month, or a year. They stopped. Okay? And they encamped. When the pillar of cloud moved, Israel moved. And you stop and think about moving. Probably somewhere between 1.5 to 2 million people, okay? So when they set up camp and the various tribes and they set up camp around the tabernacle when it was set up, it covered approximately about 12 square miles. So if you go 4 miles in one direction and 3 miles in another, that area would sort of take in the encampment of the nation of Israel around the tabernacle. When they were marching in the wilderness, if they were to march 50 abreast, the line would be approximately 40 miles long. And so don't think of it as just some little tent sitting out there in the field somewhere, okay? Now, this tent set inside of a courtyard called the outer court, and that had a fence around it, 7.5 feet high, and 7.5 feet high, should be up here, I guess, 7.5 feet high, and that fence was 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, had one opening, just one opening in through the end of that fence, and the tent or the tabernacle set up in the end of that particular enclosure, okay? Now, there are several items or articles of furniture in the tabernacle. Two of them are out in the outer court, and then you have three in the holy place, and then you basically have one in the Holy of Holies, but there is some combination to it. In the outer court, when you came through, by the way, the Israelite could only come to the gate and just inside the gate of the outer court. That's as far as the average Israelite could go. Only the priest could go beyond there. But the very first article of furniture, right inside the gate in the outer court, was the brazen altar made of wood overlaid with brass. And that's where they brought the animal, and that's where the animal was slain and the blood was shed. Lord willing, I'm going to look at that in the morning service this morning, because if you're going to approach the presence of God, you either come first to Calvary or you don't come. Any Israelite who tried to approach beyond the brazen altar was immediately to be struck dead. Of course, you bypass Calvary, it involves eternal death, right? So we have the brazen altar where the blood was shed. The second item of furniture, still in the outer court before you get the tabernacle, was the brazen laver, which was basically a wash basin. And it was made out of the brass looking glasses of the ladies. So ladies, it was your special contribution to the ministry of the tabernacle. And in that basin was water. And the priest, once the animal was slain, he now is going to go into the tabernacle, into the holy place, on the basis of the people, first for himself, then for the people. For before he could go in, he had to stop at the brazen laver, and he had to wash every time two parts of his body. Isaiah 52:11. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. He had to wash his hands and his feet. Speaks of my work, speaks of my walk, because they were handling the animal, the sacrifice, the blood, etc. Thank God for the cleansing power. I'm cleansed by the blood. I'm kept clean by the book. And so, Lord willing, we'll look at that tonight. And then, once you step into the holy place, and only the priest could go in there, okay, three items of furniture. The first one, the golden candlestick. The second one, the table of showbread. And the third one, the altar of incense. The golden candlestick, Jesus is the light of the world. Table of showbread, he's the bread of life. the altar of incense, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? We have an access into the presence of God on the basis of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 11, Jesus came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt in John 1:14 is the exact same word as the word tabernacle. So the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So every item of furniture in the tabernacle points to Jesus Christ. Every item of furniture represents the Son of God. He is the light of the world. He said to his disciples before he left earth, you are the light of the earth. Philippians 2 says, among whom we shine as lights in the world, okay? And so the table of showbread, when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life in John 6, it was in the context of performing the miracle of the feeding of what we commonly call the feeding of the 5,000, the miracle of feeding them with a little lad and his lunch. The altar of intercession, which was just before you went into the Holy of Holies, that, of course, represents the access that we have unto God, the throne of God, through the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy of Holies, the holiest place, there's a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, okay? You had to push it from the side to go in. It was not divided in the middle. Only one person could go into the Holy of Holies, only one day a year, on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. That was the high priest, and he went in on behalf of his own sin plus the sin of the people. Now, in the Holy of Holies, the holiest place, you have the Ark of the Covenant. The tabernacle basically was built to house the Ark of the Covenant. There are over 180 references alone in the Word of God to the Ark of the Covenant. Matter of fact, only certain people were allowed to even carry the Ark of the Covenant. And you may remember one time they put it on the ox cart to move it, which was in disobedience to God's word. It was falling off. And you remember one of the men reached out to steady it, and God struck him dead. That's how serious things are, right? Now, on top of the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat, which was the cover, the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. In the Ark of the Covenant was the pot of manna, reminding of God's provision for Israel, okay? There was the tables of the law, reminder of the Word of God, and there was Aaron's rod that budded as a reminder that you do not fight against God's authority and to prove that Aaron was God's chosen man. Now, above that was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, which went before to guide and on occasion came and stood behind them to guard them from the enemy. So I take time to give you all that, just as sort of a background and introduction, and we're going to look at each piece, Lord willing, as we go along. Got your Bible right there? Turn, if you would please, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The title I'll give it is Camping with a Purpose. Many years ago in our Living Waters Bible camp, on the brochure, we used to put camping with a purpose. So Israel, I think it's Dr. Stephen Olford, I believe it is, has a book on the tabernacle, and I think he entitled it Camping with God. So that's a good title for the tabernacle. Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. After the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings, carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Just those verses, Hebrews chapter 9. There's basically a twofold purpose involved in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. And the twofold purpose is as follows. Number one, the tabernacle reveals the glory of his person. If you study the tabernacle and you read the tabernacle and you listen to the message of the tabernacle and you miss the glory of the person of Jesus Christ, then you have entirely, totally missed the tabernacle. I met someone years ago that had studied the tabernacle. They could tell me every dimension. They could tell me they told me how high the wall was. They told me what the size of the brazen altar was, which is basically 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet by 4.5. They was able to tell me and describe for me everything with relation to the brass of the looking glass of the laver. They was able to describe for me how that the golden candlestick was one piece, six stems coming up the central, not put together, but all just one piece. Okay? They's able to give me all of that. And yet, in reality, sad to say, this particular person had missed the person of Jesus Christ. I had a dear lady many years ago when we were pastoring in the state of Maine, started attending our church. She had moved into the area from New York State, New York City, actually, and started attending, an unsaved lady, but had a lot of questions. And I had gone to their home on occasion to answer questions for her. Her husband was also there to answer some questions and so on. And then she started reading her Bible. And I tried to get her to start like in the Gospel of John, but she thought the Bible was like any other book, and you don't start over the middle of it, you start at the beginning. So she started reading at Genesis, and she read the Bible completely through from Genesis to Malachi, and this is an unsaved person now, and from Matthew to Revelation. She read the Bible completely through. And she would come to me week after week with questions. Now, she said, back here, so-and-so begat so-and-so. I mean, I said, dear, there's so many of them begats back there. They begat me a long time ago. But she had the genealogy. But she read the entire Bible and missed Jesus Christ. She just totally missed Jesus Christ. Then one Sunday, this went on for a couple of years. One Sunday I preached and gave the invitation, and down the aisle she came. So counseling with her and had the joy of introducing her to Jesus Christ. And she said, you know, it's amazing how my eyes and my mind was blinded. Well, the Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, right? Cannot be revealed unless the Holy Spirit makes it clear. So we don't want to just see all the measurements and so on. We want to see the person of Christ, the glory of his person. Jesus said, I, if I be lifted up, will what? I'll draw all men unto myself. So there's the glory of his person. The second thing we want to see in our time together in the tabernacle is the greatness of his performance. You see the person first, you see the glory of his person, and then you see the greatness of his performance. And I don't mean performance in the fact that he's putting on a show for us. I mean performance in the fact that he offered himself as the sacrifice for sin, that he's given us the word of God as the cleanser to keep us clean, and that everything you and I need for belief and behavior is made plain and clear in the word of God. So if we look for those two things, the glory of his person and the greatness of his performance, we'll see him in all of his glory. Remember the Greeks came to Philip, John chapter 12, and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. That's our entire plan and entire purpose. Now, the present purpose for you and me with relation to the tabernacle, I think we can put it in these four divisions, okay? Number one, the tabernacle presents God's presence. Everything here presents to you and me the presence of Almighty God. This was God meeting with man. This is where God dwelt with his people. Now, you and I are the tabernacle of Almighty God as a believer, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So even as he came and tabernacled among us, Jesus said, when I go away, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll send you the Holy Spirit, and he not only shall be with you, he shall be what? In you. So we see the presence of our God in the ministry of the tabernacle. Number two, we not only see God's presence, we see God's purity. Everything in the tabernacle was gold, fine linen. Everything pictured the holiness. Matter of fact, the basic meaning of the word, tabernacle, sanctuary, holiness, holy place. Even the outer court is referred to as a holy place in Scripture. Then the first room in the tent, the holy place. Then the second room, the holy of holies, or the holiest place. If there ever was an hour in which you and I need to see the holiness and the awesomeness and the purity of our God, Peter says in his epistle, the Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And the tabernacle presents to us a picture of his purity. He is Lord. Thirdly, we not only see the presence of our God, the purity of our God, we see the protection of our God. I'd have given up on that crowd about 2 weeks out of Egypt. But you know what? I'd have given up on me a long time ago too. But I don't smile. I'd probably have given up. No, just kidding. Aren't you glad that our God doesn't give up on us? Yeah, keep it down now. Don't get excited. Aren't you glad our God doesn't give up on us? Thank you. So thank God for his divine protecting hand. He looked after them every step of the journey. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. Not only did he guide, it also was a guard. It also was a protection. And then the fourth thing, God's presence, God's purity, God's protection. But here's the basic, here's the bottom line one, God's provision. Everything that you and I need for Christian living, for conduct, for godliness, for belief, for behavior, and be able to live Christ in a Christless world, to be able to live godly in a godless society, to be able to live holy in an unholy generation, everything is given to us in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Every provision that need. He provided for the penalty of my sin. He provides for my every need. He provides for the daily journey of life. He provides encouragement in the times of discouragement. He provides miracles in our lives. Pastor Lim was asking me this morning how our son-in-law was doing. And God performed a miracle in the life of our son-in-law, who for Well, since July of 2012, has had six major surgeries, two of them in Leesburg, Florida, three of them in the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, and the final one, the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. And 3 days after Labor Day, on the Thursday, he had surgery at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, which they thought was going to be to repair a leak in the bowel and also take out the gallbladder. But when they did all the tests the 2 days before, the leak had healed, and they felt part of the problem of the gallbladder was caused by the problem of the bowels. So would you believe they reversed the ileostomy? They closed off the drain. They had three bags on him. They closed off the drain that came from the gallbladder. He flew on. He and our daughter, my wife was there for the surgery. My daughter and him flew back to Florida the next Tuesday after he was operated on. Wednesday night he was in prayer meeting, and he's preached for the past Sundays ever since. So a miracle. So he said to our daughter 2 days ago, I've preached about miracles. Now I've had one, and I don't know how to handle it. And so that's the goodness of the hand. But every one of us has seen the hand of Almighty God at work in our lives, right? This is what we see in the tabernacle. There are two main materials in the tabernacle that we really need to make emphasis to. One is the fact of wood. It was called acacia wood. The King James uses the word shittim wood. And the second was gold. Now, there's a lot of brass and so on, but those two. Wood speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ. Gold speaks of the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So the only one who qualified to be the payment for your sin and mine was Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the God-man. He's not half God and half man. He's total God. He's total man. Theologians have a big fancy term. They call it the hypostatical union. I haven't got a clue what that means. No, it's the dual nature of Jesus Christ. Total God, total man. So Jesus Christ, as God, was qualified to pay for my sin. As man, he was tempted in all points like as I am, yet without sin. So on the cross, Jesus Christ, the God-man. And then gold speaks of his deity, wood of his humanity, but what does it say? The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, but we beheld his glory. There's humanity and deity all contained in one, in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to basically give you a little introduction this morning to the tabernacle. And if you're able to be with us every service, if you're not, cancel everything, quit your job. No, if you're able to be with us, we'll be sharing together. But if you can only make it on a meeting here or there, whatever, it's not going to matter because it's not one of those to be continued type of things. But I think it'll be an interesting time as we take a look at God's plan of redemption down through the ages, but foreplanned, foreordained, and prepictured and prefigured in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ came and tabernacled among us. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you this morning for the opportunity we have to just come together to open your word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Lord, we're exhorted to study to show ourselves approved unto thee, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're so glad this prophecy didn't come by the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, may thy word today accomplish thy divine will and purpose in each and every one of our hearts and lives. Pray your blessing upon our service to follow, upon our time together this week. Lord, may we have the joy of seeing people come from darkness into light, come into a personal relationship with you through Jesus Christ. May the hearts of your people be revived, stirred, encouraged, and challenged. Help us to see you in all of your glory. As we sang at the beginning this morning, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. We love you in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. God bless you, Pastor.